It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. And I have as a returning guest, Kristen Gieselin. And we're going to be talking about Corona and what she refers to as the B-ism. So it's B-E-I-S-M, right?
That's correct.
And looking at that in today's challenging world, as we are facing the coronavirus and continuing to have to deal with the all the repercussions of having that in our life, from financial to emotional to mental to whatever kind of challenges all of us are kind of coping with. Before we begin that, I always want to mention that my website is the synergyconnectionradio.com website. And if you go there, you're going to see Boomers. There's a link into Boomers Forever Young. And if you go into that link, you're going to see all kinds of wonderful nutritional products. I use all of them myself. But in today's challenging health crisis, there are two things that everybody needs to remember, and that is if your inflammation rate is low, like below 1, and your immune system is high, above 70, you can cope with this virus or anything else that's challenging you health-wise down the road. But you have to get your inflammation rate low. You have to get your immune system high. Most people don't even know what it is. It's a simple blood test that they can do at a lab. And so you again want it to be below 1 for inflammation, above 70 for your immune system. The Boomer products can help do that, but there's other ways you can do it as well. The important thing is just to know those numbers so that you can face whatever might be coming your direction in the coming months. If you miss the show, as far as like a good friend, somebody that needs to listen to Kristen, then send them to synergyconnectionradio.com and they'll be able to listen to the show there. Otherwise, welcome to our conversation and discussion today. And Kristen, you wanted to add a few things about yourself and how you're kind of moving into more of a B-ism therapist, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I guess we could call it that. I think I'm going to call it B-ism in terms of intuition and mindfulness mentor. It's my sort of my signature system that's mm-hmm. been, you know, I started working with people 37 years ago.
Wow. Which,
yeah.
When you were 7.
When I was 7, right. And this system is sort of the sum total of what I've come up with mm-hmm. In my own reflective process in terms of maintaining life balance and also, you know, having a reflective life, internal inquiry process. And it also assists people in tapping into a greater degree into their own intuition. So I've been using it with clients, coaching clients, and also in my intuitive development courses.
And getting into your own intuition isn't the easiest thing in the world because we have all kinds of voices in there talking to us.
There's the conditioned reality from the past, and then there's the higher messaging. And sometimes at the beginning, sorting those things through is not the easiest thing to do.
Not the easiest thing to do.
And even ongoing, you know, especially when we get under pressure, then keeping all that sorted out is. And basically, that's what the B-ism system is. It's just a way of, you know, we are never divided into little chunks. You know, we are a unified system. Every element of our body, mind, and spirit is unified.
You know, if people would kind of grab onto that concept, because it's not like we have feet walking by themselves. You know, our legs are attached and our hips are attached and our bodies are attached, our trunk and our torso. And yet we think of ourselves sometimes as being in these little boxes or compartments, and we're not.
Right. And so over the course of my life, I've been exposed to all sorts of different personality inventories and team building systems and everything like that. And the ones that I tend to appreciate and enjoy more are the ones that are sort of interactive, mm-hmm. that, you know, one element plays into the other one, like the five elements, mm-hmm. you know, systems that have room and space for flow. And so when I'm working with people with the BEISM system, that's how I do it. It's not like there's a discrete line between the body, the emotions, the intellect, mm-hmm. the spirit or soul, and your mastermind or your relationship with your higher power. Mm-hmm. These are all, you know, interrelated.
Right. And some people have stronger areas than others, because you and I have both known people that are gifted psychics, but they might not be very attached to their body, the physical part. And so in order to get, as I always refer to it, as your best life, you kind of have to coordinate so all of them are in balance to the best of your ability.
Exactly. And that's not balanced like a scale that's like evenly balanced. Mm-hmm. It's just not having them going clang, clang up and down all the time.
Like, you know? like bells in a belfry.
Right, exactly.
You know, banging on each other.
A term that I've come to enjoy is dynamic equilibrium. You know, which says at different times, it's important for our focus to go to different places. Mm-hmm. And there's not always, especially, you know, I'm a professional single mom, I now have an adult child, 25. But during the course of both my, you know, focusing on spiritual development, professional development, parenting, homemaking, there's not like every single day I'm not doing every single one of those things
right.
completely all the way.
Right.
But over time and over the course of months or a year or a week, looking for balance, you know, at large.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know for me personally, if I'm out in nature, I definitely feel more balanced. And when I lived in Green Bay, Wisconsin, I would garden a lot, and getting my hands into the soil just kind of brought me back down to some sort of a earthly balance so that I didn't stay so much in my head. So for you, I know you love plants too.
I do. I have a rich interactive life with nature, mm-hmm. and it does really bring me into the moment, and I like bringing nature inside. I have mm-hmm. a lot of plants in the house. I do get cut flowers too, because somehow that the vitality that they bring into mm-hmm. the energy inside is nourishing for me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's definitely one of the ways that I stay connected. It also makes me feel connected to all that is, you know, the mastermind, you know, the connection to nature, whether mm-hmm. that be with animals, like mm-hmm. I know you have a cat and love animals, mm-hmm. and I also have a dog who is my lovey, and that is definitely, that's part of the emotional wellness for me comes partly from the oxytocin mm-hmm. that I get from the interaction, you know, with my dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know your dog is highly energetic.
Well, he's actually settling down some now because he's
okay.
getting a little bit older. But he, at times when he had a companion, they were wild together. Yes, when I was fostering a dog mm-hmm. last year, they were wild. Yeah, because, you know, they would excite each other and run around madly, but he's calmer now because he doesn't have that buddy anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So tell us more about how BEISM can work with this whole coronavirus situation.
Well, what I like to do is to just help people sort of relate with the different elements of BEISM and then start to use it as sort of a self-reflective or assessment tool. So body, emotions, intellect, spirit, soul, and mastermind is the basic elements, aspects of BEISM. So for me, I learned early in my career, and at the beginning I worked with children with special needs, 0 to 5. And one of the things we would do right off the bat when we had a child that was maybe not communicating effectively or their behavior was out of whack or whatever, was find out what was going on with them physically. Were they lead poisoned? Were they tongue tied? Did they have a hearing blockage or delay of some kind, impairment? So starting at the physical level, that's sort of the most gross or general energy, you know, mm-hmm. that we have in mm-hmm. our being. So if things are kind of off at the physical level, you know they're going to be off at the more subtle levels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to be conscious of what's going on, you know, with yourself physically and at the level of the body.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because when I was still working with families a lot in the schools, there was a little boy that I was working with, and he was very, very intelligent, but he had a club foot. And he had had numerous surgeries at Shriners right here in the Tampa area But because of that, he couldn't interact with the other kids quite the same way. And so he got his attention. He had an older brother. He got his attention by misbehaving because his older brother was super smart and like this ace student. He couldn't quite do that. And so he was in trouble all the time, even as he got into his teenage years. And I know his grandmother was raising him. And I, you know, stayed in touch with her for a number of years after I quit working with them. But he never was able to get his act together. He was just always going to go down the road of making poor choices. So how many kids did you run into that maybe had either foot problems or gait problems or...
Well, luckily, we were getting them really early. I was doing my focus was the 0 to 3 people.
Oh, you were getting them early.
Yep. So we were getting that, you know, organized right at the beginning. But what it did is it informed the way I think about working with people. And so I've carried that forward into the system. And somehow that's, you know, Beism just sort of sprang into being. And that.
So how do you talk to somebody that, like, that maybe is coming to you with issues about the physical part? I mean, how do you assess where they are there?
You know, a lot of times it's just, well, of course, you know, I am an intuitive and I will use intuitive intuitive tools to check into that.
Right,
either
right.
I can do a scan or I'll use, you know, my deck to get feedback. But, you know, most of the time people are aware, at least at the superficial level, of what is going on with them physically.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I work with a lot of people who are 40 or older, by the time you are 40 or older, sometimes you have allowed things to go for a while. Mm-hmm. And there may be one or two or three different things going on physically that need to be addressed. But part of that often is not that people don't have access to the correct information about what to do about their physical situation, but they have a belief of some kind that impedes them from taking the kind of action that they need to take to remedy the situation.
So what would be a typical belief that somebody might have that prevented them from taking action?
For instance, it's more important that I take care of other people than to take care of myself.
Okay.
I need to put others ahead of me.
So that might be just not taking time for themselves. And so as a result of not taking time, they're... maybe anxiety level would go higher, or their stress level certainly would go higher.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Or they're just not doing the basic thing. Like maybe they just they're supposed to go to the doctor every 6 months to, you know, have something, you know, checked, but they haven't gotten there because they, you know, there's some part of their belief system that doesn't say I'm important and I'm putting myself on the schedule and I'm going.
Right. They would take their kids or they would encourage somebody else to go, but not make that appointment.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So
you would deal with that kind of out of the gate because that tells you where the rest of this is going?
Well, what happens usually is, thank goodness, we don't usually have like straight across the board deficits. There's usually strengths in other areas, thank goodness.
Thank goodness, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's sometimes it's a surprise where those strengths are. So, for instance, I recently worked with someone who was really expanding in their soul and their mastermind area, but they were having a lot of physical challenges. But when they started to really implement the changes that needed to happen in the soul and the mastermind area, then their physical things, they could manage the physical things much more effectively. So it's like, you know, it's a dynamic system, and we can, though, easily just check in with ourselves and say, you know, hey, how am I doing today emotionally? You know, where am I at? I found with the corona, I'm not visiting as many people as I normally would face to face. And I was starting to, my mood wasn't as good because I think I get some of that DOSE, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins from hanging out with other people.
Sure.
So I said, what can I do? What can I do to replace some of that? So now I've put myself on a more rigorous exercise plan. I'm going to the Gulf of Mexico. I can save space there. This year, thank goodness, the Gulf is clean, you know, around Clearwater, so I don't have to worry about anything funny in the water. So
other than sharks.
Right. Well, other than sharks. Yeah. Thank you, Jaws. Right. It was never the same after Jaws. But anyway, I am deliberately taking myself to the beach and spending more time there because it soothes me on many levels, and then I'm going to be able to maintain my body, but then that also kicks over into my emotional well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's helping me out. Now, in terms of the intellectual stuff, I'm not good bored. I'm just a person, if I start to get bored, then that's going to affect me emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I do need to have some intellectual challenges. And because I've finally made the commitment to move ahead with having a real business, I have things to do. You know, I'm going to be getting the LLC happening and making, you know, getting a website up and doing these things to move the Beism forward. I feel that my craft and my sort of beta testing for this is complete. And now it's time to, like, you know, get it wrapped up and get it out there. You know, put the bow on the present.
Right. What that kind of reminds me of is somebody who keeps going to school for more and more education, you know, several master's degrees, maybe a couple of PhDs, and they still haven't done anything with it yet because they felt like there was more for them to learn. And so you've reached the point where you're going, I just need to jump in.
Oh yeah, absolutely. and that's pretty much, I've been really experimenting with the system and trying it out and seeing how it works with people and applying it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now it's time to really put it out there in a big way and get the trademark and all that sort of thing. So that's, you know, in the process. Now it's time to get that on the plate. But for me, that helps me take care of my intellectual area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's satisfying. In terms of spirit or soul, that part for me, you know, it's interesting because there's the idea that we might have some kind of contiguous soul energy that goes from lifetime to lifetime. And, you know, that part is sometimes hard to touch into ourselves unless we've been exposed to, like, past life regressions or something like that. But then when you think about, you know, what enlivens your spirit? You know, what makes you feel alive? What gives you the sense of joie de vivre? You know, like for you, it would be being in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what the connection's there to your soul, you know, memory. Probably significant based on what I know about you.
Right.
But when we can go there, like for me, dancing and music really lifts my spirits. It's such a big bang for the buck. And all I have to do is flip on the radio. It's not, you know, just turn on my favorite station and there it is. Part of what I wanted to talk about today is that you don't have to spend a lot of money and you don't have to go, like, outside of the realm of resources that you have at your own disposal to take responsibility for your own wellness.
Mm-hmm.
That we can look at our environment. We can pay attention to just, you know, something simple. Like, if you don't have money for supplements, then just don't drink as many Cokes. You know, there's always a place to improve. There's always a way to do better. And sometimes I feel that people get discouraged or they don't take the action they could take, or they feel they don't feel as empowered as I wish they would,
mm-hmm.
because they don't think they have what they need to be empowered. But really, they can empower themselves in many ways that are free, that are accessible. Especially with the amount of information that's available on the internet now, there's so much free education,
mm-hmm.
That you don't have to say, oh, I can't do that, or I can't move forward. At least you might not get to the complete goal in whatever area it is.
But one step.
But you can take a step, absolutely. Yeah. And I just feel that by taking whatever that next step is, it helps you write the story of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this is about, is conscious choice. Even during the time of Corona, how can we consciously choose to create the lives that we desire and mm-hmm. that we feel led to?
You can go for a walk, for instance, and still safe distance. And most people that I'm at least aware of, you know, it's probably a 50-50. Some of them are wearing masks even out while they're walking. I don't think that's necessary if you're in nature. Granted, if you're on a crowded sidewalk in New York or Chicago, yes, you're going to want to have a mask on. But if you're going for a walk in your neighborhood and there's really no one else out there with you, it's better to breathe deeply, in my estimation, and get fresh air in your lungs rather than filtered through a mask. Your dog, you know, is a great one for reducing stress. And we know that pets do that. Certainly, when I was a little girl, my mom used to have us take naps outside. And she'd put a great big blanket on the grass, and she'd bring a chair, and she would read. And our nap time was spent on the blanket with our eyes closed. But before I would ever take a nap, I'd be looking at clouds, and I would see all the cloud formations. And I'd think, well, that's a dog, that's a cat, that's an elephant, that's a horse. But I would see those, or I would see trees. And so even to this day, I love looking up into the trees because of the web, you know, that the branches form. So, I mean, it's another way. Find what makes you happy. It could be drawing. It's not expensive to get a piece of paper and just sketch, or coloring books, you know, that adults are using today, you know, that are mindless kind of activities, but the colors, the designs, you know, can bring a sense of peace and happiness, and there's a ton of them to choose from.
Absolutely. And I have a few people in my Facebook feed that are, you know, I see them producing art and, mm-hmm. you know, even stepping outside their normal boundaries. And mm-hmm. maybe that's something they wouldn't be doing if they were in their regular lifestyle.
Right.
So, you know, even though I know many of us are, it's like a continuous questioning, okay, what can I do to continue to have a high quality of life, even though I'm not living the way I would normally live? That's one of the things that I know a couple people in my circles who are doing art, more art than they were doing before.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, you know, they're discovering themselves, you know, in a creative, self-expressive way that gives them a lot of satisfaction.
Right.
So that's really neat to see.
And it is. Cooking, I think a lot of people, you know, have come back home, and we can't go to farmers markets, but there are produce stands all around that we can buy from. So it's locally grown, which is better than the ones that are shipped in. And actually the prices are the same or less than what you would get in most stores. So when people are looking at their health, and what I was saying earlier about reducing inflammation, we can do that with the choices of food that we put in our mouth. Anything that has a lot of sugar in it, your inflammation rate goes up. So keep your sugar intake low and put more vegetables and fruit, you know, on your plate. Maybe reduce the amount of meat that you're eating. You don't have to become a strict vegetarian, but that will all help reduce inflammation rate, and it will boost your immune system. So you're right, you don't have to do supplements, but I will tell you that even a simple D3, I mean, people need to be using about 5,000 international units to get their immune system up above, you know, where it's currently at. And I would say the average person is around 45, even if they're out in the sunshine and everything else. It's just that we, you know, don't have high levels of that. So for the majority of people that can go to CVS, Walgreens, a health food store, your D3 capsules at best are going to be about $12. And it'll go a long, long ways to improving your immune system.
Right, there you go. So that's something that's fairly attainable mm-hmm. for most people.
For most people.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in terms of just thinking about, you know, what am I doing to sort of stay focused and maximize this time, I am trying to really keep that base, that body base correct. And so I'm doing the extra exercise. I got a key for a juicer that I had because I couldn't open it. So I've got,
okay.
So, you know, to clean it. So uh-huh. I got the key. I also got some supportive herbs from an acupuncturist because at the beginning, not so much now, but I could feel that my adrenals were getting stressed.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I'm going to get myself some adrenal support.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really put a lot of effort, you know, and attention.
Did you go with ashwagandha or?
No, there might be some of that in the mix. I'm not sure. It's a formula that's mm-hmm. created, but what I loved about it was the guy who creates it. His name is Dr. Morris. He prays over all of these.
Oh, that's neat. Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
And so he's energetically infusing the herbs that he uses to create the formula.
You know how, okay, so I'm going to detour and we'll come right back, but I wanted to share something that I think you know about too. The study that was done with white rice. You don't know about that one? Okay, so you're familiar with Dr. Emoto.
Yes.
Okay, and so Dr. Emoto, the way he looked at water was when you send negative energy, you know, towards the water, it takes on different shapes, just like cancer shapes. And when you send positive energy, it becomes this beautiful lace-like pattern. You can do it water really easily. But for people that wanted to try it at home and that didn't have, the ability to see the shapes under a microscope, what you can do with just plain old minute rice is have three different bowls of it, same box, so you want everything pretty much be able to measure the same. You put the same amount in each bowl, so you measure that, but you put one bowl maybe in one room, another bowl in another room, and another bowl in another room. And you actually address the rice with positive, negative, or neutral. So with the one that's positive, you can praise it by being nutritional, by being a good accompaniment to maybe a chicken dish or a beef dish that you like. But you always say things to it on a daily basis and throughout the day that you enjoy that particular rice and that it's a very positive experience. With the one that is neutral, you ignore it. So you don't say anything, you just pass it by. And the one that's negative, you tell it all kinds of negative things. Within a couple of weeks, the one that is positive will stay pure white. The one that is neutral will begin to disintegrate and have mold and stuff on it. And the one that you've said negative things to is going to be in really bad shape. And so, it's a reinforcer of what we tell ourselves and what we tell one another. So if we're, giving negative feedback to a child or a coworker or, somebody that, maybe love that you live with, you want to make sure that the things that you're saying are supportive.
Oh, indeed. And that's where we get into the I and the B is in the intellect,
But isn't that fun to do with rice?
That's fabulous. It's so interesting. I've seen this happen with plants. Mm-hmm. I had one plant once when I was younger. It was a hibiscus and it was outside the window of a living room. And So I saw it all the time and it was making beautiful red flowers. And I was constantly imagining how much I loved it. And I was just appreciating it constantly. And it couldn't make enough beautiful, blossoms. Exactly. Uh-huh. So I have had some of those experiences with plants. So with the intellect, I find with the clients I work with, people are in habits of telling themselves negative stories.
Oh.
Or, certain things happen, or there's dynamics going on in a work environment, or people are behaving in ways they don't understand, and they will start to tell themselves stories that are not necessarily verifiable. They'll just attribute why something is happening, or all sorts of different things that might not really be based in reality. But it just sort of like sneaks in from left field.
Mm-hmm.
And then they feel bad. They feel depressed, stressed, whatever. And then I'll just say, well, why did you tell yourself that?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, well, I don't know. And so I've had remarkable results with people just being more mindful about their self-talk. What are they saying to themselves all day? Apparently, 85% of our conversation is with ourselves.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So what you say to yourself really matters tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of that is going to be based upon what you heard, coming out of childhood or your teachers or, again, a spouse or somebody who had a huge influence over your thoughts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have like a whole committee, people, there's a whole group of people in there with you. Well, if they're saying things that are upsetting to you, you can talk back to them and say, thanks for your input, and I choose this. This is how I choose to look at this situation.
Right.
Or I'm not going to make up any stories about this till I have more data. I'm going to wait and see. Or I would like to focus right now on enjoying my lunch, or whatever you want to say to them, So it's really interesting. People feel better really quickly is what I've noticed when they can start to be conscious of what they're telling themselves about what's going on. Within weeks, people have reported, I feel better. I do feel better.
Well, they're taking charge of themselves rather than allowing other people to control them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's empowering.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to realize, I have choices.
Mm-hmm.
And
most people don't realize they do.
Exactly. And so it's always like, whenever this starts to happen, I'm always like, I'm even mystified. It's really funny. It's like, I'm impressed. I'm like, oh, wow, that's so great. You feel better. And I mean, I've seen it over and over again, but still it's almost like magic because it happens. It seems to happen very quickly.
Right.
Once somebody starts to have a greater awareness of that self-talk, their mood can shift very, very fast. So that's cool, especially if people have been under pressure or a lot of change, or, you know, there's been a major loss, you know, a grief situation or something, when people can say, oh yeah, I do really feel better. It's so rewarding for me, and it's exciting.
So let's go back to Corona for a second with that part. So if somebody is needing to take charge of their self-talk during a Corona situation like we're in, what might they be able to do?
Well, you know, a lot of people are calling this the Great Awakening. Some people are calling this the Great Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
So even, you know, if we call it the pandemic, that brings a certain feeling. If we call it the Great Awakening,
it's another feeling altogether.
Exactly. Sometimes I call it Rona. You know, so just because that's more neutral and kind of like tongue in cheek, you know, not so serious. Of course, there's tremendously serious elements to what's going on right now in our culture, the reactions to it, what's being exposed. But, you know, you and I talked a little bit when we were discussing what we would talk about on the show today about finding a happy medium mm-hmm. between being affected by everything that was going on externally. And being, of course, conscious, aware people, and not taking in so much of the upset energy, the anxiety, the fear, the grief, the anger, that you can't be effective in your own life or find a way to be effective and change, you know, where you might be able to make a difference in somebody else's life because of what's going on.
So let's use as an example again, because I'd love to give like real details. If somebody has lost their job because they couldn't work from home and the business closed, or maybe they were in restaurant work or hospitality industry and people aren't doing anything out there, what could they begin to tell themselves? Because they're going to experience anxiety, anger, depression. All of those are going to be right there because it is a loss. But at the same time, if they wanted to recreate who they are, how could they go down that road?
Well, the first thing is, you know, you want to take care of your basics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you lose your job, as crazy as it is, get on there and get that pandemic unemployment. I mean, it took a lot of work for me to get any interface with that. But mm-hmm. my business has been affected,
of course,
because we're not doing live events, you know, per se. I haven't done a live event since February 8th.
Oh, wow.
So,
long time.
Yeah. So, that's okay. It's everything's, I'm working with it.
Well, and we're learning to use technology to our benefit.
Exactly. There has been an explosion of opportunities to network and meet new people and do things on the internet. But then it's also, for me, building rapport on the internet is different than building rapport when I'm working with someone face to face.
Exactly.
So it'll all work out. But the first thing is, you know, get those basic needs met. It's ridiculous to try to spiritually bypass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do that. But you can start to say, this is something that's out of my control. This happened. You know, they're going to restaff my wait staff job. Maybe half of the people are going back because we're going to be doing safe spacing for the seating.
Right.
What I like for people to do whenever I've worked with people who were in career transition, which is actually one of my focus areas from years of training and experience, is what was that thing that you always wanted to do that you might have even started being trained for that for some reason you didn't get to do? Or what was that thing that's always in the back of your mind? Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of people have a something that they just never got to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's a possibility for this to be the time to pursue that, then that's something I would encourage people to do.
I'm going to give you an example of my granddaughter. Okay, so she just graduated from college. They didn't get to have their actual ceremony, which was so sad because 4 years of effort and you don't get to really, really graduate. But she and some of her friends that were seniors, they can't find a job in their field because they're all artists. They graduated from Ringling. But at the same time, they're actually looking at opening a little bit of a co-op together. And so they're going to do like maybe some books, some soup, My granddaughter makes the most amazing chocolate chip cookies I've ever eaten. I told her she could make a business on those. She started an Etsy business that's taking off and doing reasonably well for a brand new Etsy business. So, you know, she's using technology, but they're also getting very creative about, okay, Hallmark isn't hiring right now, or Universal isn't hiring right now, but these are our skills. So how do we put our skills together? And I think, you know, as somebody that's a 20-something, being able to think outside the box like that is really good. And so for those maybe that are in their 40s or 50s or even 60s that know that they still need to work, how do you think outside the box?
Right. That thinking outside the box is really the thing. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. And it's harder to do that when you're under stress, mm-hmm. honestly. And so that's sort of the challenge, is to get those basic needs met well enough that you can start that thinking outside the box. But usually what I find is that the outside the box isn't that far away from the inside of the box. It's just one step over the line.
Right. But they just thought they couldn't do it before. Now they have to look at it.
Right. And sometimes, like, I'm working with one person actually who had the same job for 20 years. Mm. Okay. Same. It was a very personal type of thing. They were a personal assistant to someone who was very famous and the right-hand person. But 20 years is a long time to be doing the same thing for the same person in such an intimate way. So in terms of, you know, reviewing your skills, sometimes that's hard because you're not even exactly sure all the things that you know how to do. Mm-hmm. Most adults have between 300 and 500 major skill sets, and they can name 3 or 4.
So, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So that's a trick, to be able mm-hmm. to really review what you're really good at. And what I had people do was just get that list of ED verbs and say, okay, start circling and then describe some of those. And what are the things that you're most proud of? You know, what are the things that you really like?
So can you give some examples of things you've seen?
Okay, well, this is a really funny description. I'll use this one particular client. So if she listens to this, she's going to hear herself. All right. So I don't know how we came to this in conversation, but she was talking about herself and somehow the image of a whole bunch of trucks, and she's got the clipboard, and she's the one running all of the trucks. Okay, you go here, you go there, you do this. She is a good coordinator. She's a person who can make sure that logistics are done, things are done on time. And, you know, that's sort of a way to communicate to another person, just that visual image of somebody who is down on the ground floor. They're not in an office. You know, they're connected to where the action is. And, you know, they're expediting, you know, some kind of an activity. You know, that could be with trucks. It could be it could be in an office setting. It could be inside where they're dispersing work to different people in different departments. It's that coordinator person.
Right.
That person who has that bird's eye view and can track a lot of different details and knows how to shuffle priorities. You know, some people don't like to do that. They want to just have the work that they do in
one
front
task,
of them
right.
and do that work. Mm-hmm. Other people can keep an eye on a whole bunch of different things and sort through that. So that's sort of, I don't know, that's sort of the thing that just, I kind of have like a knack for that, and it's hard to describe how I do that, but it's partly branches over into my intuitive abilities, where whenever I met people when I used to work in the reemployment world, I kind of would just know as they started to describe themselves what their knack, you know, what they were good at. I could just seemingly extract that very easily. But usually people are good at what they most enjoy and are most proud of. So that's a way to kind of analyze your own skills. What have I done that I really love doing, and what am I most proud of? If you start to break down those experiences, you know, where did I feel best about myself? Generally, mm-hmm. those are the places where you have the really strong skill sets.
I'm just thinking of a couple of things off the top of my head, but people that like to grow things, you know, that's still something that's very needed right now. So, I mean, they could have a little mini garden and be growing things for their own table or for neighbors' tables, you know, if maybe those people didn't do as well. So you can have almost like a co-op going. There's been a lot of people that have taken out sewing machines and they're making masks because everybody needs masks. So I just saw something on Facebook the other day and I just laughed because now they have color-coordinated clothes and masks to match. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that. And but I do know there's a shortage of sewing machines because a friend of mine wanted to purchase one, and there weren't any at the local retailer. And we checked with them, and apparently they're back-ordered, that people went out and bought all the sewing machines. So the manufacturers cannot get enough sewing machines out right now for the demand.
And I would guess even on eBay, you know, that that's a problem.
Right, probably because, you know, once you can't get it at your local retailer, you're going to start looking around for used stuff. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
But
so.
Just, you know, looking around even a home, years ago, they used to talk about, you know, what aren't you using? And that can become something that you would sell if you need to make some extra money.
Oh, yeah.
So people are doing that on eBay with a lot of games, devices, things they don't use anymore, but
right.
they still have value.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's part of that purge, too. People have said, hey, we're stuck at home. What can we do? What kind of projects can we do? Can we clean out?
Right.
You know, what are we going to do with our time that's constructive and feels like we're, you know, making use of this time?
One of the things at Christmas time that when my son was little, that we always had a great big Christmas puzzle. It might be like an 1,000-piece puzzle or something, and we would start on it right after Thanksgiving. But I had a puzzle. It was like a mat, and you could put the puzzle pieces on it, and then you could roll it. And so you didn't lose all of your pieces, and then you just unroll it.
I think I've seen those.
Have you seen them?
Yeah.
Okay. And very cleverly done. But we always had such a good time doing that every year. We look forward to it. It's like making Christmas cookies. Decorating the tree, but you knew that that was a family activity that you would do. And so I'm also thinking that there's probably some interesting things that families could be looking at that are crafts, you know, that they can do either, again, as a neighborhood, you know, to make the neighborhood better. I don't know. There's people that are doing, have you seen the one on library books? People are going in and getting all of their books that they're not reading anymore, and then they're putting them out as like a neighborhood library, and it's just, you don't even rent it. You just take a book.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Yeah.
Very cute. The mini libraries, adorable.
Mm-hmm.
They're also doing mini food pantries the same way.
Mm-hmm. So if you need something, take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. I do think there is a certain amount of grassroots reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
That is important, that when people are busy going back and forth to work and back and forth to school and back and forth to the sporting activities, there's not as much lateral connection
right.
with neighbors and community as
right.
you might see right now. And a whole lot of course, people finding each other on the internet that share common interests that might not have been spending as much time doing that.
Right, right.
So
it's like a collaborative effort.
Yeah, in a way that's really cool. And that brings us really to Mastermind, which is your connection with your higher power. You know, how do you connect with
how does that happen?
Right, how do you connect with your higher power? And sometimes for me that is totally through other people.
Mm-hmm.
I am a grateful member of Al-Anon, and sometimes when I hear someone else sharing their experience, strength, and hope, it does feel like, you know, higher power is just saying something directly into my ear. Certain things, I hear certain things in a certain way that just resonate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the ways that I connect. And of course, through my own personal prayer and meditation practice. And nature for me is, I know that's a big way that you connect with
yes.
spirit,
mm-hmm.
is by being out or with, you know, the great beyond, the mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
And I know through your Reiki is a way that you connect.
Right.
And earlier when I was talking with people about how to be successful through Corona, it was four S's. And part of that was spirituality. Spirituality, structure, service, and self-care. Were the four S's that I have suggested for people to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, service can just be something really, it can be something simple like giving a little, you know, music lesson online or going on and showing a recipe online if you, you know, aren't connecting with other people in another way.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are people volunteering in food pantries and, you know, other environments where they are having physical contact with others, but, you know, it depends on how strong your immune system is, whether or not you want to put yourself into those environments.
Exactly.
So it just depends on, you know, your individual case, but definitely realizing, sort of being proactive so that you don't have too much of a sense of isolation, because a lot of people do get their normal social needs met by going into work, and if they're not doing that as often, or I know there's a lot of Zoom happy hours happening.
I have not gone to one. Have you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my belly dancing community does a Zoom happy hour, and my Voyager group does a Zoom happy hour.
So everybody gets their favorite beverage, and you sit and talk.
Yeah, and I've done it with a couple of my friends from college, and there's a larger group from my college that does a happy hour. So, so there's
a lot.
Well,
it's certainly safer than going to the bar.
Absolutely. And, a lot of people were using, a Zoom or other type of, visual interface to connect for work. And now it's just been expanded, to social activities. And I've seen conferences on the internet as well, metaphysical conferences and other types of conferences, conscious capitalism, all sorts of groups, are figuring out how to, continue to coalesce and collaborate and work toward their goals, in innovative ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when I feel connected to others in meaningful ways, that's part of how I feel connected to my spiritual self and to my mastermind self.
Right. How about the person that is, single? All of a sudden now they're not able to go out and meet other individuals because of the safe distancing. I'm wondering if the Zoom meetings doesn't work a little bit, at least for getting to know one another until such time as they can, meet face to face maybe.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I'm sure that is happening. And I also am aware that there's been an upsurge in pet adoption as well.
Yes, I don't think there's many in the, like the different adoption centers. SPCA and stuff, I at least had heard that they're pretty empty, which is the first time in a very long time that that's happened. So that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. So if you're not able to interface as much as you'd like with human beings, having your little pet partner can make a really big difference. I do see a lot of posts right now on Facebook of pet things, so people obviously are, because they're home with their pets, whereas before they might leave and be gone all day.
A business that's probably appreciating this tremendously is Chewy.com.
Right.
Because you can order everything that your pet needs from Chewy.com. I don't order from them, but I'm sure a lot of dog owners do. It's delivered, and so you've got the best of both worlds. You don't have to go interact at the pet store. But you're going to get what you need, from them. So I imagine they're very happy campers these days.
Well, yeah, I'm sure most of the online retailers, I'm sure, are doing fine and will probably continue to do so. And then it really becomes a question, though, what happens to our real world retailers?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm making a buying decision very soon. And I'm thinking I'm going to spend my money at a locally rather than at a national chain, just for that very reason.
Support them.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a number of the big chains that are going under. Or filing for bankruptcy or something else. So, no, it's not an easy time for anybody.
No.
Whether you're the big giants in the world or, the little guy next door.
Right. And underneath it all, though, I do feel there is an opportunity to evaluate what is important to me.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes along with that spiritual component, right?
Yeah. What are my values and what is this sort of churning energy in the social culture, what's coming out of that, that's something that I care about, where do I want to put my time and my energy, and how do I want to affect change or make life better for other people or for myself? What do I want to change about the way I live? If life is short, which we kind of get that intellectually, but when people are losing their lives around you, or people who have lost their lives unexpectedly, it makes it more real to understand, hey, there's only so many hours here, so many minutes, so many seconds. Mm-hmm. What are my personal priorities? What do I really care about? Where do I want to put my time and attention?
Right. All of a sudden you realize that maybe the bank balance, although it's necessary to be able to pay your bills, that might not be the end game for you.
Right. Or maybe you can live in a tiny house. Maybe a tiny house is a better option for you. Or people are living even in RVs. People are living in campers. People are, like vans, tripped out vans, because they want the lifestyle that provides.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a video of an artist who is obviously retirement age, but still producing, still working. And she downsized her life to the size of a camper van, And it was even fitted with a tub. She even had a tub in there. It was like under a seat. She had everything in there. It was amazing. So, because some of the tiny houses are even pricey, you know, $65,000 for a tiny house. I paid $80,000 for a regular house, you know, 16, 17 years ago. So I'm not excited to spend $60,000 for a tiny house.
Right.
But for some people, maybe that's going to work out. But still, just it's more about just being conscious about what your choices are. And, you know, as the time and energy and effort that you're putting into creating the material comfort that you have, you know, is that where you want it to be going? Do you have, you know, could you live with less material comfort and care more about having more free time? Would you like to have more time and energy to exercise or to cook at home cooking more? You know, it's all choices and options.
You know, one of the things that probably will happen from all of this, and maybe it's part of that awakening you were talking about, is like in Hong Kong, Tokyo, places that are very dense and crowded, they're used to being in about 500 square feet, but they have movable walls. You know, the storage is different. And so you don't walk in and feel like you're claustrophobic because they use windows and light and the decorations are not heavy like the ones we have here in the maybe United States. So there are going to be different ways of re-examining probably every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, and you know the fact that we're our ozone layer allegedly that where the giant hole was in the ozone has closed up. You know, that's a no small do. That's a huge miracle.
Yeah.
So just being able to kind of shift the carbon footprint.
Yes.
And even if it's not as big of a shift as we really could use, at least it's a start.
It is a start. And you've got to look at, you know, the water, you know, that's I mean here we are mostly water on Earth, and yet our waterways have been so polluted. You know, a lot of our animals are either endangered or they're already extinct. And so it's looking at life as we knew it, and what are some things we can do to reverse situations that we knew we needed to address, but we just weren't doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And going forward, I feel like the young people are really on it.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very conscious of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the way my life shaped itself made me not have, like, I've had as small of a carbon footprint, I think, as I could have. I've been lucky never to have a long commute. I've lived in a modest house. I didn't have, like, a big heating cooling thing going on. It just worked out for me. But, you know, just having a long commute is not good.
Right.
But my adult daughter points out to me, it's not us as individuals who really have to change their ways in terms of what's going on with the environment. It's the big corporations.
They do. And they can't look at the bottom line profit motive anymore. They've got to look at life that benefits everyone, not just a few. And that style of thinking, I mean, we've never had that. And now we have an opportunity to actually go down that road.
Well, this is the first time as a globe we've ever had to encounter an issue simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time.
It is.
Well, of course, climate change was that, but then you had a division as to who was doing it better. Well, who was doing it better and who was not, didn't even want to admit that that was an issue to deal with.
Exactly.
But it's very hard to ignore what's happening now with Corona, where everybody has to, in some way, form or fashion, acknowledge that it's real and it's happening and we have to make decisions.
Now, is it possible
as a globe?
Right. Is it possible, because you and I have very similar styles of thinking, that because we weren't getting it, like in quotes, that our spiritual leaders that are not embodied in the human form said, okay, we give up. They're not getting it this way. So we're going to bring in something like a pandemic on a national, international level. So people had to stop what they were doing, step back, sit down, and really look at this, because I feel like that's part of what was happening, is that no matter what you said, people weren't getting it. But now there's an opportunity to begin to make a change because we do see it.
You know, I try not to attribute causality or make up things that are speculative.
I know.
that's you know, in Buddhism, we really try to go with as little story as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were going to look on the bright side, if we were going to say, what is the best way to respond to the situation, certainly to say, hey, this could definitely be an opportunity for a wake-up call, mm-hmm. and to just stop this ridiculousness of being so over-identified with who we are in one tiny little speck on this globe. And that's part of why I like the way how Beism kind of formed itself, because I do love my personal heritage, the fact that I'm Scottish and German and English, and I have a DNA history, and that brings with it, you know, mythopoetic information, and I love all of that and I embrace that. And yet at the same time, and I love that I have, you know, participated as a Buddhist in my life and what that's brought to me. But it's more important, you know, beyond anything that's my unique identity, how what I do here with my voice and with my actions and with my thinking and my attitudes affects everybody else and what gets left behind because I was here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's where the rubber really meets the road. And any ism that I add on to the end of it or whatever is not what matters.
Right.
We're all here as human beings. Right. Human beings on this planet. So in the end, you know, how well we do with how to live well as human beings affects every one of us. And
right.
There's no way at this point on this planet that we could continue to believe that any one group of us has any special rights more than any other person here. There's just it's ridiculous to even begin to think that.
Right, which is going to mean a huge shift in the way the majority of people see life, because we've always looked at it as, you know, our group has more rights than your group does, and we've defined it that way.
Yeah.
So things are going to dramatically change, I think.
Yeah, and so in order for us to be prepared for that, the more spiritually centered we are
mm-hmm.
as an individual, the more emotionally well we are as an individual, the better we can use our skills and talents to support ourselves, the easier it is for us to continue to adapt to the changes that are going to be continuing to come.
Mm-hmm. And certainly, I think this is just the beginning.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, just the beginning, because, you know, the coronavirus was the wake-up call for our healthcare systems, for a lot of people's finances, for so many different areas of our lives and how we need to do things differently. But I'm hearing, and I'm sure you are too, that this may not really be over for a number of years in terms of the impact. And so, yeah, it's not one of those things where it's going to be gone tomorrow or a month from now or 2 months from now. It's kind of here, and the after effects are going to be here.
Right, and it's just basically there could be other viruses that
mm-hmm.
are similar. It's not like we even know that this is
exactly.
the only thing we're going to be dealing with.
Exactly.
And, yeah, so thinking in a much more unified way is surely what's on our plate.
It is on our plate now. Well, we'll draw the show to a conclusion here. It's always fun to have you. Let people know how they can find you.
Sure. My name is Kristin Geeselin, KristinGeeselin. And I am on Facebook under Kristin Geeselin MS. That's my professional page. My phone number is 727-678-3761. And my email is my name, KristinGeeselin2@gmail.com. And I am available for personal coaching and consultations. I am available to do presentations and workshops. And I am also available to teach any variety of topics related to intuitive understanding, etc. If you have a group and you'd like to do that by Zoom, I can do that for you.
And you're also a Theta healer.
And yes, I do Theta healing. I have 7 certifications in Theta healing, and I've been doing a lot of, I sort of am integrating a variety of tools using the Voyager Tarot, the Theta healing, and then I bring the Beism into it, and I'm getting some really nice results with the clients I've been working with.
That's all awesome. All right. Well, thanks again for being my guest. And for those who you, after listening to this show, you realize that, wow, I want my best friend, or I want my husband or my daughter or my son or somebody to hear Kristen, then please go to synergyconnectionradio.com. Her show will be the very first one up once you click on show notes. There are 10 pages of shows, and I've mentioned before I will be coming up on my 100th show fairly soon, which is quite amazing. But my guests have all been amazing to me in friendship and in the ability to share their particular talents. So again, go to synergyconnectionradio.com. If you do decide to order anything from Boomers, if you will use L-U-C-Y in the promo code, you will get $5 off of your order. And I think $5 today is pretty good. You know, everybody needs a little bit of help with anything. So, you know, check out their website and the products that they offer. Otherwise, we will see you next week on the Synergy Connection Show, and go out there and make it your very best life. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.